Okay, praise the Lord. Hopefully you've listened to that other recording. Today is August 26th. We're going to talk this morning about learning as you grow. Now, those of you who grew up listening to country, know that there's a song that says, life's a dance, you learn as you go. This is almost that. Learning as you grow. Because each and every one of us, each and every day, are growing in wisdom and knowledge. Sometimes we're not growing as fast as we would like. Sometimes we're not growing as thoroughly as we would like. Sometimes it looks like we're stunted. I don't remember where it is. It's out west somewhere in real craggy areas in the mountains, probably in the Sierra Nevadas. There's a kind of pine tree that only gets to be about 6 feet tall. Harsh, harsh, harsh environment. And the tree is all twisted, is all whipped around by the wind and the heat and the drought. This tree only gets to be about 6 feet tall. Also out west, you maybe heard of them, there's these things called sequoias. They are not limited to 6 feet tall. Each and every one of us is going to grow different, just like these trees and these plants grow different. The question isn't how big we grow or how well we look from the outside. The question is, are we fulfilling what we've been called to do? Are we growing the way God wants us to grow? Are we doing the things God wants us to do? Each and every one of us has our own calling. Each and every one of us has our own path. Each and every one of us have our own giftings and abilities that God has given us for His specific purposes. If we are comparing ourselves to one another, we fall short. Actually, sometimes we are quick to point out somebody else's fault. Well, I'm not doing too bad. I'm better than so-and-so. Didn't we read about that Wednesday night? The Pharisee and the publican praying. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this guy. But that's not who we're supposed to judge ourselves to. Let's start with 2 Peter 3, beginning with verse 14. Peter says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, which is the return of the Lord, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. In other words, do what you're supposed to do. Take care of yourself. Do what God has called you to do. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. The long-suffering of God is salvation. How many times do we do a little bit of self-reflection and realize how messed up we are and are so grateful that Jesus hasn't come back yet? I don't know about you. It happens in my life. But our brother Paul wrote this to you. Verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them these things, in which are some things that are hard to understand. Peter says, I love Paul, but sometimes he confuses me. Do we talk to people and realize that they have a heart to serve the Lord, but sometimes we just have absolutely no clue what it is they're saying? I get that. You know, I did not go to seminary. I'm not one of those people that did that. So when I start talking with other ministers and they start talking about the eschatological this and that, and I'm like, there it goes. I get the idea of what you're saying. There's some background to this that, you know, I get that. I'm with that. Speaking in some things that are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. See, that's the danger when we're listening to people that we really don't understand everything they say. We try to pick out this and that and fit it to our understanding rather than doing the actual study to find out what they're talking about. Untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the scripture. At the risk of stepping on toes, not toes in here that I'm aware of, okay? But at the risk of stepping on toes, because I have no clue who's listening. Sometimes believers will come to a start with a theological discussion, and it will get personal and accusatory. I was aware of a situation one time where a bunch of ministers were getting together, and the leader was convinced to uninvite one of the others because there was some differences in doctrine. And rather than discuss them as differences in doctrine, the one accused the other of being in a cult and just turmoil. These things happen. These things happen in the body of Christ. They shouldn't. They shouldn't. But they do. And it's not new because Peter warned about it way back here. But you, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, he says, you already know there's potential for error. You already know there's potential for division. Because of that, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Look for opportunities to grow, to learn more about Jesus. That doesn't mean you can't listen to another minister, but if you listen, whether you're listening to me or another minister or whoever it is, get your Bible out. You know, when Paul and I think it was Barnabas, because I think it was on the first missionary trip, when Paul and Barnabas went to Berea and they began sharing things with them about Jesus, the Bible says the Bereans were more honorable than the town they just left because they heard the words and then they went and looked into Scripture for themselves, studied the Scripture for themselves to see if these things were true. Because not everybody that stands in a pulpit, at a podium, on a street corner, or standing talking to you at a party, not everything they say is necessarily going to be 100% accurate. When I was sharing with Reverend Patty from the Presbyterian Church over in Champlain the other day, I said one of the first things I realized when I came back to God after 16 years of not darkening a door was that every source I had learned anything from, whether it be school teacher, parents, ministers, whoever, every source I had learned anything from, I had learned something that I found out later was not true. Doesn't mean that everything they said was wrong, but something that I had been taught was not true. For instance, my dad's favorite verse, I talk about this all the time. My dad's favorite verse is not in the Bible, in any translation. It says, beat your son for his soul salvation. That is not there. I've looked. Okay? So, every source has the potential to be flawed except the perfect source. Even talking about the Bible, I remember growing up, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses both had this in their statement of faith. We believe the King James Bible to be correct in as much as it's correctly interpreted. Okay? So that was in both of, I mean, we're talking 40 years ago, 50 years ago, but that was in their statement of faith. Now, I don't know if it's still in there for the Mormons. But I do know that there were so many discrepancies between what was being taught in the Jehovah's Witness Church and the King James Bible that they ended up translating their own copy. So they came up with their own translation that matched their beliefs. So, that being said, search the Scriptures. I study with a King James Bible and with a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, only because it can take me back to what the Word used to be. I'm not saying you have to do that. There are a lot of good concordances. There are a lot of good translations of the Bible. Sometimes it's very helpful to read the same passage in a couple of different translations to see, to get an understanding. But if all we are doing is looking at man's interpretation of what the Word of God says, we run the risk, just as Peter warned us about, that untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. So, be careful. But we are called to learn. We're called to grow. We are called to draw close to the Lord. To grow, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. That's what we're called to do. And then, going back a book, 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3, as Peter is talking to the believers, he says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have we tasted that the Lord is gracious? Have we experienced that God has been gracious to us? Anybody? Have we experienced it? You know, I mean, it's not a radio station, but dead air is still not a really, really good thing. You know, I know I'm in New England. We don't get a whole bunch of amens, you know. We have experienced that the Lord is gracious. So Peter says, lay aside all malice. Lay aside all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all evil speaking. And as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. He says, as newborn babes, you do this. Get into God's word and find out what it says for yourself. Grow, learn, understand. So Peter says that. But there's also a danger with that. Paul's going to tell us about, or the writer of Hebrews is going to tell us about that in just a minute. As we desire the pure milk of the Word, oh, this is good. This is wonderful. Get to know who God is and all this stuff. This is great. The problem is sometimes we just want to stay there where everything is easy and everything is sweet and everything is gracious. We don't want to get to the point where we're getting it up here. This is great. But sometimes we don't want to let it get all the way down. We get it in our head. Keep remembering I'm talking on tape or on a recorder so that people can't see where my hands are pointing. We get it in our head what the Word says. But sometimes when it comes time to start getting it into our heart, oh, we have to actually do something. We have to come to terms with what the Word of God says. The writer of Hebrews addresses that. Hebrews 12, or 5, beginning with verse 12, says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. So, as Peter says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, but don't let that be the extent of your growth. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone that partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of youth, not just putting it in our head and not just being able to quote Scripture and to know what the Word of God says, but to actually have it begin filtering into our lives to change who we are. Each and every one of us has shortcomings. Each and every one of us have issues that become stumbling blocks. An issue for me is I try very hard to not speak unless I know I'm right. It's a good thing on one side. It's a bad thing on another side. One is, since I rarely speak unless I know I'm right, I'm pretty sure I'm right most of the time. And every once in a while I'm not. And it's a battle for me to come to grips with that and also to humble myself to address it. Okay?
Amen.
Hey, I got an amen that time from the back row.
That's right.
Okay, I had two specific incidences in mind, and neither of them was from my wife, so I guess I have to address another one later. I had a situation where I told my youngest brother he was wrong, and in retrospect, he probably wasn't. And I had another instance where I told my sister-in-law she was wrong, and in retrospect, she was absolutely right, and I was wrong. So, issues that come up. But it took a while. It took a while for that to actually sink through my head because I work real hard to make sure I don't talk about things I'm not sure of. But you can be absolutely sure of something and be wrong. You can. The question is, are we willing to humble ourselves and grow? Are we willing to take the things that we've allowed to get up here and get them down into our heart and make a difference in our lives? Are we learning as we grow? Because we're growing in grace. We're growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're growing in years. We're growing in so many different aspects of our life. But are we also taking the time to make sure we're learning as we do that? 2 Timothy 2, beginning with verse 14. Paul talking to Timothy about encouraging the people around him, the believers around him. It says, reminding them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Ever hear people getting in an argument about trivial things? Ever been in an argument about trivial things? There's the amen, then there's the oh me. But we strive about things that really don't matter. Why is that? Pride. So sure I'm right. It all comes in there. We are called to be lights and we're called to be witnesses. It says, but the problem with that, when we strive about words of no profit, is that it brings ruin to the hearers.
Absolutely.
So if, say you're at a party at work, you're at some function, and there are other people around, and you hear two people arguing about something trivial. Okay? For example, I have heard this argument. Who would be the best captain? Jean-Luc Picard? Or James C. Kirk? Okay? Starship Enterprise, Starship Next Generation. Who is the best cat? And I've literally heard people arguing about this. What do you think my interpretation of their opinion was? Anybody want to hazard a guess? Let's just say neither of them increased in stature in my eyes. Okay? When we argue about things that really don't matter, when we get ourselves into an argument about things that are words of no profit, are we arguing about things that are trivial, do not matter? In that case, not even real. It tears down relationships. It tears down credulity. It tears down, whether or not somebody wants to hear what you do have to say. These things tear down relationships. So don't get involved in that. I don't know if you would. I don't know what you're, you know. Crazy things. Crazy things happen. People will argue about just about anything.
No, I wouldn't get into that argument.
No? Well, see, okay. Yeah, I'll turn on science fiction and Deb will go in the other room. See, I don't argue about it, okay? I don't argue about who's the better captain. No. But it goes on. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In the King James, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Study. Here it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It goes on, but shun profane and idle babblings. Again, useless words. Things that really don't matter. For they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. And they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those that are His, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Paul says, or writer of Hebrews, Paul says, this is Timothy, that there are people that are teaching false things, and people that don't understand, that haven't studied and aren't learning for themselves, are listening to it and it's tearing them away. That's a danger, not just way back then, but today. There's a big debate going on, or not big debate, but a lot of turmoil about, you know, fake news. What's fake news? You know how one organization or another organization is fake news. People that are publishing things and have to go back and correct it because it was wrong, that's fake. By the same token, you have social media platforms that are censoring out speech that they don't agree with. You have a group called the Southern Poverty Law Center. I don't know if you've heard of them. And they have this list of people that are hate groups. Well, their criteria for hate groups is, or one of their criteria for hate groups is, if you happen to believe in a biblical interpretation of marriage and sexuality, you're a hate group. So all of these things going on in the world around us, if people aren't studying for themselves, if they're not learning for themselves, if they're not finding out what's actually going on, then, you know, how can you relate that? How can you address that? I saw, there's a minister that I know, I don't know well, but a minister that I know down in the west coast of Florida. And she was talking about some social issue at the time. It's probably a year ago. And she had used, she had included a picture that was to illustrate the point. But the picture that she chose was fake. Had already been addressed as fake, knew it wasn't right, or it was very, very, very common knowledge that it was a made up, photoshopped picture. It was not accurate. So I told her that. And she says, well, I'm only trying to make a point. I'm like, how can we make a point if the illustrations we're using to make the point are known to be wrong? Are we learning as we're growing, or are we looking for shortcuts that are tearing people down? Are we learning as we grow? Are we applying what God's word, which is truth, is saying in our heads, down into our hearts and into our lives? Or are we looking for other ways? Remember I mentioned a few minutes ago about recognizing that the King James Bible is the Word of God in as much as it's correctly translated. I'm a firm believer that there are some issues in the King James Bible. Don't get me wrong. I am pretty sure that in Israel, a year after Jesus' death, they were not celebrating Easter. I'll put money on that. I'm not a betting guy. But they certainly weren't celebrating Easter the way we celebrate Easter. Because that's when they were going to keep Peter over the holiday and then execute him. And the angel let him out. Remember, Rhoda opened the door? He kept him in because it was Easter. That's what the King James Bible says. No, there are some issues. There's some issues with a lot of things, but do we study to understand it ourselves, or do we just take what somebody else says? Second Peter 1, beginning with verse 5. This is the last passage of Scripture. We're talking about learning as we grow. We're talking about studying for ourselves. We're talking about finding out what the Word of God says and applying it to our lives. 2 Peter 1, beginning with verse 5 says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." If we're adding to our faith, means first off we have to have that measure of faith and be exercising it. And if we're adding to faith virtue, that means that we have to begin applying what we know to be right. Like the writer of Hebrews has said, laying aside all malice, getting rid of those things that are a stumbling block in our lives. Add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. Again, studying. To knowledge, self-control. It's not enough to know. You also have to exercise it. Putting it in our lives. To self-control, perseverance. We remember what perseverance is. Perseverance goes with that other word, long-suffering. It means enduring things for a long period of time. It means going through. It doesn't mean getting in the middle and giving up. It doesn't mean throwing up our hands and walking away. Perseverance. Add to perseverance godliness. Isn't it amazing? We've already gone through faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance before we ever get around to start acting right. To godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Again, that's another one of those things you'd sort of kind of expect to be further back, further up in the list. But Peter's telling us to add these things. Make these things compound in our lives. When you add these things, you're building one upon another. You're not just, okay, we got this far, drop that off, okay, now we'll go for the next thing. We're putting all of these things to work in our lives. Amen. And the brotherly kindness, love. You're being nice to people. Now you actually care about them. "For if these things are yours and abound, you will never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Remember when the writer of Hebrews says, "I come to you and you should be teachers and you can't handle strong meat, I have to give you milk"? Things never got applied to their lives. We need to apply these things to our lives. "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." I see a promise like that and I'm like, yes, there's hope. Absolutely. "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Peter says, as long as I'm here, I'm going to be encouraging you this way. As long as I am among you, I'm going to be reminding you. I know you know it, but I'm going to be reminding you anyway. To lay aside the things that would tear you down, to take an effort and be diligent to walk in ways that you are knowing right, to add to your faith virtue, to add to your wisdom, to add godliness, to add brotherly kindness, to do all of these things and to keep going. And not only am I going to do that as long as I'm here, but I'm making arrangements and I'm making preparations to make sure you even get reminded after I'm gone. I'm encouraging the other people around me, the other people that I've shared with, to share with you also. I encourage my brothers and sisters to encourage one another, to share these things, that we continue to grow and continue to be reminded. As long as we are on this earth, God's not done with us. As long as we are here, He still has a plan and a purpose for our life. God doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste anything. Even the pain and the turmoil and the sickness and whatever else we've gone through, God uses it as He works through us to minister to other people. The Bible says that God causes all things to work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. All things. I came to the realization that some things are so horrific, it takes the sovereign hand of an almighty God to bring anything good out of it. But God has promised to do that. He has not promised that everything will be pleasant. He has not promised that everything will be comfortable. But He has promised that He doesn't waste anything. And as long as we are here, we are to remind one another, we are to encourage one another, and we are to continue to learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your word. And we thank You, Father, that You're not finished with any of us, Lord, but You are still at work. At work in our hearts, at work in our lives, at work in our circumstances. Father, You are at work showing Your grace and Your mercy to us and through us. So, Father, we give glory and praise and thanks for that. We thank You, Lord, that Your word will never return void, but it always does that You sent it forth to do. We give You all praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.